It is Thursday, July 25th, 2019. It is 7:04. Calling the roll, Commissioner Dowling. Here. Commissioner Pritz is absent. Commissioner Graham White. Here. Commissioner Prestis is absent. Commissioner Forehand. Here. Commissioner Raina Wogden is absent. Chairman Franek.
Here.
We do have a quorum.
Thanks. First, I would like to welcome to our august body, John Forehand, as our latest additional commissioner. We look forward to his architectural expertise. And his varied opinions, as we have a tendency to expand most of the whole spectrum of preservation. So that's good. Is there any public testimony, Jan?
Jan Sager, 435 William. First, I want to thank John Pape for his diligent follow-through on requests. The change for the description of the searchable database now reads River Forest Properties. Took out the significant to make it more inclusive. Also, the searchable database was mentioned in the July newsletter, so that was nice. And maybe we might think about continuing putting that in there, just as, I don't know. Also, I asked about having the July, having the notice of our River Forest Walk in the July newsletter, and it was in there. It was a nice paragraph, nice notice and link to the Historical Society. So, Jonathan, your efforts are much appreciated. The house walk went very well. People were very interested, very attentive. It was a hot, humid day, and they hung in there. I think we had 16. We were sold out, but I think people might have forgotten. I think they sell 21 or 22 tickets, or it was just too hot for them. But because it was sold out so quickly, another walk was scheduled for August 17th. We only have 4 tickets left. So if that sells out in time, then I've heard that another walk for September might be scheduled. So River Forest, we're getting on the map, getting some interest from people. I don't know if you noticed the article that was in the Chicago Tribune talking about all the walks of the Historical Society. So, and who was that by? Can't remember her name, but anyway. it was a nice article, and we got a couple paragraphs. So I think that's it.
Okay.
Thanks, Jim.
I see no other members of the public present. So let's then move on to the approval of meeting minutes for June 17th. Does anyone have any comments or proposed revisions?
If I just make one note on that too, just to report back to the commission, part of that finding, per usual, is submitting a written finding to the applicant. So I had the village attorney draft that up. Dave signed it. We got that over to the applicant to close out that application.
Yeah, all the I's have been dotted and the T's crossed. Any comments for proposed revisions? Carl is nodding no. I don't have any. Yeah, exactly. You're nodding no revisions.
I'm just saying no.
Yes, yes. That's what I'm saying. No revisions. I don't have any. Owen? Okay, do I hear a motion to approve? Do I hear a second? All in favor?
Aye.
So approved. All right, consideration of the application for historic preservation award. We have a submission here for 1140 Keystone. We do not have a representative of either the owners or their architects/contractor/builder present. I guess the one comment that I had in looking at this is really, I guess, twofold. One is I think the renovation is extraordinary. In particular, the mural in the entranceway kind of harkens back to something that one have seen in the federal era, and it's really quite stunning. My question, though, of the owner and their representatives would be precisely what was done on the exterior in the nature of either restoration or revision. It's a little hard to tell. It appears that there was an extension on the left rear, which I guess would be the northeastern corner of the building, and there was also an extension of that of the middle of the rear, it kind of putting aside the work in the patio as separate and distinct. And the reason I ask that is in many instances, we have looked first and foremost to the restoration of the exterior of the structure as our guide as to what we wish to do. So, does anyone have any thoughts as to the proposal? No, I didn't see any either.
I mean, what they did is the interior changes.
Mm-hmm. No question.
Is this an annual award, or is this just as people, as homeowners apply, and it could be more than?
We've got, I think it's five or six separate awards that we could give. They come up every spring.
Yeah. Usually do a call for applications in about May.
Yeah. We've taken the position in the past that we need not give an award just to give an award out, but give an award when we feel that it meets the requisite criteria. John, do you want to go through the various awards, what they are and what the purpose is? That perhaps would be helpful so that everybody's got that kind of fresh in their minds.
So as Dave noted, there's different categories, and I'll read them out here. The Laurel McMahon Restoration Award. The Restoration Award is presented by the HPC in recognition of outstanding achievement in returning the exterior of a structure to its original design and condition by repairing or replacing the original architectural detail and materials. The Secretary of Interior Standards for Rehabilitation shall serve as the guide for the commission. The Streetscape Compatibility Award. This award is presented in recognition of an outstanding achievement in building a new structure or addition in an architectural style and scale that is compatible with its surrounding historic streetscape. The Adaptive Reuse Award is presented in recognition of an outstanding achievement in altering structures used to meet contemporary needs in a manner that retains the structure's viability while respecting its original architectural character and design. The Architectural Details Award is presented in recognition of an outstanding achievement in restoring an exterior detail element of the structure. Examples of exterior detail elements would include porches, brackets, architectural trim, and stained leaded glass. The Secretary of Interior Standards for Rehabilitation shall serve as a guide for the Commission. The Renovation Award is presented in recognition of historically sensitive renovation or addition to a structure in the village that enables continued and or expanding use. Then a Jeanette Fields Award of Merit is presented in recognition of an outstanding achievement, which is outside the scope of the other awards. And so each year what we do for those that are new to the award too is we essentially open up the applications to projects completed over the last 5 years. So these ones eligible or anything completed since January 1st of 2014.
So I guess among those awards, the one that comes closest is a renovation award.
Yeah, I mean, I think each of them have different details that you could include, and Dave kind of mentioned this to me earlier. Generally, when we talk about standards in terms of the commission's guidance on, and this is a little bit different because it's not on the significant properties list, but in terms of guidance on windows or changes to the facade or even demolition, it's usually an interest of the exterior of the home, or always an interest of the exterior of the home, particularly the facade visible from the right-of-way. I think that there's some exceptions to that in this award process that makes some sense, whereas the interior of the home is kind of an ancillary benefit to the commission in terms of the fact that, as we've talked about previously, we kind of draw the conclusion that investment to the interior of the home helps to preserve that home for years to come rather than blight, as we've seen, unfortunately, in some other cases.
Yep.
So certainly open to interpretation. As I reminded Dave, too, it's the commission's award, and
you
can giveth and taketh away as you see fit, so which is really what it's meant to do, is recognize good work. So,
yep. So thoughts?
I'm sort of, to get a feel from the board of how, is it to our benefit to give out awards to encourage people to do this? Or are we really going to drill down and say, hey, is this really an award-winning design? Because my opinion would be the interior is beautiful, but the exterior is kind of just a box around it that they added to the back.
I was thinking this may be the first, I'm going to use the word contemporary, home that's been submitted that I remember. Most of them have been much older.
The submission indicates it was built in 26. So yeah, it does read perhaps a bit more recent. In some of its is looks stylistically. I think John has raised an excellent point. I'm curious what you, Carla, and you, Owen, think about that.
Well, are we breaking precedent by giving this award, or would it be in keeping with prior awards for the renovation work as a job well done and a recognition that you did a good job?
Yeah. One of the things I had asked John to do when I was going through this, I gave him a call earlier today, was to go through the list of the homes that we had given awards to determine whether we had one where the presentation was seemingly as focused on the interior as this one is. I personally don't recall one, but that doesn't mean that we haven't. I guess one of the things that we could do is we could also table the request until our next meeting until we can get a better handle on that, because we had discussions at our last meeting as to whether awards should be given for good design or, in fact, preservation. And several of the members of the commission were quite adamant that we should, that we are a preservation commission. And at any given point in time, one may feel that individual commissioners like certain designs, but you really don't want to impose your own personal taste as to, quote, what's good, unquote. Others thought that we should be, at least one other commissioner thought, again, very firmly, that we should be encouraging sensitive renovation, and he was also willing to extend it into new construction, which is not this. So I guess from where I sit, I would like to gain a better sense of really two things. One would be from the owner and or their architect, what specifically was done to maintain and restore the existing exterior. You know, did they replace certain features which had deteriorated? Secondly, what was actually done in terms of, you know, where the dividing line occurred on what was new? It appears to be sort of the, I guess, north two-thirds of the exterior were touched in the renovation. But I'd like to get a more specific drill down on that fact to try to get a feeling. Personal opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was other parts of the, other than the addition, where they did exterior.
Exactly. Control. Yeah. I mean, you know, for instance, were any of the columns replaced because they had deteriorated? Was any brick replaced on the facade? Was there any work to the pediment on the front? All that kind of stuff. You know, there's a clearly ornate treatment underneath the pediment, as well as some dental moldings underneath. Did those have to be restored in part because of deterioration over time? You know, the question is, what did you do other than a revision to two-thirds of the exterior?
Yeah,
and that'll then give us a sense. Plus, if you can see whether we've had other awards that we've considered.
Yeah. Yeah, which we kind of reviewed this afternoon. I can definitely extend these questions to the applicant. To your other question, all that I'm finding are other awards where I think it is fair to assume that the interior was kind of part of the project, but that also had the exterior, work done. I gave Dave the example, 146 Keystone and 558 Franklin, the last homes we did were probably the closest examples to that. And those were more, I don't know what I called it earlier, but, you know, toward the lines of house as a whole, because they really were full restoration.
Yeah, full on of the exterior renovation. 146 was the blocky house?
No. Mm-mm. The 146 was David Burns' house.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's
okay.
That pink Queen Anne in the corner.
Yeah, where he had done interior work. But we were sort of aware of the interior work he'd done, but we sort of focused on what he'd done on the exterior. You know, maybe that's because in our view of preserving the significant properties, our charge is really only asked to the exterior, because I don't know if people want, and frankly, I don't know if we individually or collectively want to be viewing what people do on the inside. That's their own business.
Yeah, and I think the argument's always been kind of as it relates to the ordinance that the facade visible from the street is what impacts the community, and so that's what the community works to regulate.
Yeah. So, I don't want to prejudge what, you know, I mean, I think more information would be helpful, it, certainly for me. And my sense is perhaps for other commissioners as well. I see heads nodding. Okay. All right. Additional ways to protect significant properties. The one thing I had recalled is back in the halcyon days of spring, and you and I had talked about doing something with realtors. I'm happy to engage with that interface with you. If you've got some ideas, if you want to bring them to either talk about them now or bring them to the next meeting or whatever, you know, in terms of figuring out how we can do that. Okay.
Association of Realtors, but I didn't want to just start doing that.
Absolutely.
Without the commission saying, okay, well, you know.
Sure, yeah, exactly. You know, yep, absolutely.
Acquainted with the ordinance, give them the historic map, let them know that we have the full, you know, book available, and that we want to be sure that the listing agents and selling agents are aware of the ordinance. And,
yeah. Yeah,
everybody.
It's the whole idea is you know, it's public education interface, which reminds me, John, I assume that you have given to John a copy of the village map and the two volumes of the
I have not,
survey?
But we'll talk about that, and if you want hard copies, I can certainly provide them. Yep, yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. No. I'll go get a copy of the book upstairs. Yep.
Yeah. The survey comes in two volumes. The first is like 70 or 80 pages. We had commissioned an RFP in 2008, I think.
No, it was later than that.
Was it? Because I know it came out in 2012.
Yeah, I was gonna say 2013. Okay. Did it take 5 years? This is before my time.
Maybe.
I was gonna say that I think those volumes are dated 2013. So
okay.
Something.
It took a couple of years. We commissioned several. We did an RFP. We got folks from all over the country to respond. We interviewed, I think, five groups. Yeah, that's volume one, which is the history of the architecture. I stand corrected, which is fine.
But then, I don't know when the RFP was issued.
And the second volume is much thicker, and it goes through the now 296 remaining significant properties. And they had gone through every structure in the village based upon the 8 principles that the Secretary of Interior enunciated in 1965 for preservation. And they categorized various things. And as a commission, we laboriously reviewed all of their efforts building by building for an extended period of time. You missed that. The good news is with a few understandable fits and starts on a computable basis, it's something that people can add to, that we can add to once we've been able to confirm information people have given us. Because with anything that large, there are bound to be a few minor errors that need to be tweaked. There's also plenty of information that people can individually add. But it's something that's really kind of a living, breathing thing that gets us well into the future. Carla, do we have anything on the watch list?
Not at the moment.
Okay.
Jen, have you seen anything in danger in town now?
I don't know if it has been on very
long. No, it hasn't been on very long. No, that should be okay.
Okay. Any.
And the women's club is still hanging in there. Price still keeps going down.
I got a voicemail message about the women's club that I need to follow up on. And without further information, I really can't get into it because I just literally got a name and a phone number. I'm also in the process of, we'll wind up rescheduling. A meeting between myself and the new chair of the Sustainability Commission to talk about the interface. We had scheduled something for This week, and that needed to be rescheduled, and we thought best to do it sometime in September, probably, when the schedules clear up. Any other discussion of additional ways?
This is related to Katie Brennan's email. This is the second time. And can I just throw things out?
Go for it, Carl.
Okay. I just feel that this is the second time that the village has been disrespected, if that is an appropriate term to use. This, I think, is even worse than the first one when you had people coming in and just tearing down the Mars Mansion. Couldn't care less if the relatives wanted to take out some of the hardware, whatever. That Katie had made requests for this, and these people said they were going to repurpose things. And I think it's really important to the village that whatever can be preserved in a demolition be preserved. I'm going to throw out one thing that's really political. This reminds me of 1980, the Bonwit Teller building in New York City. I don't know if any of you knew that. To me, it is sacred because I bought my wedding dress there in 1965. A man bought the building, said he was going to give these two Art Deco sculptures to the Metropolitan Museum, but it was going to cost this developer owner a little more money to preserve them. Now, I won't tell you the name of this man, but you can probably guess, because I'll tell you the name of the building that went up after he demolished the sculptures and tore down the building. What went up there was now called Trump Tower. And this is the same kind of thing on a much lesser scale. I had two thoughts, and I'd had these thoughts before after the Mars Mansion was demolished and walking the dogs past there. What was this, 2015 in the summer, and just seeing the rubble, lots and lots of rubble. Am I right, John, that in order to give a certificate of appropriateness, the commission can ask for certain criteria to be done, ask for certain things to be done before issuing the certificate?
So I think what you're talking about is conditioning. And in the case of 747 William, you'll remember that there's conditions put on to that potential certificate of appropriateness. In other words, the commission said, we're going to delay it for the first six months, but if the proposed new structure meets criteria X, Y, and Z, then you'd be eligible for the demolition. So conditioning is a general thing, yes. Now, I would tell the commission that conditioning something like that, the reuse of materials, is probably a lot more difficult than, I guess my point would be, Carl, is that in the case of 747 mm-hmm. William, when we say setbacks got to be 20 feet, house can't be more than 30 feet tall, whatever it was, those are things that are black and white and make it possible for staff to administer them. When we get into things like talking about that, it's a little bit more gray. But
okay. Let me go into something a little before we're taking the hardware off and the you know, the tile roof and all that. It occurs to me that a historic record is appropriate before demolition occurs. And by that I mean somebody to go in and either video or photograph, or that means indemnifying. I know Dave Reno Ogden is a wonderful photographer, indemnifying him to go in, or somebody accompanying him from the village, Cliff, or someone, to take photographs to, or to video, to have an historic record of what was there. I mean, these are just things that occurred to me.
Yeah, in terms of doing something like compulsory to be able to go on their property, I'm not sure.
I mean, obviously, you'd have to have the...
Yeah, right. You'll kind of remember from this case that we're talking about here that the homeowners didn't want it. Want people on their property, even with the indemnification and insurance, so that we offered. I could ask the village attorney to maybe advise on that specific issue if it came up, but it's a possibility. I understand the spirit of what you're saying. So,
and if there is the possibility of, you know, not destroying whatever is, you know, things that can be repurposed, if this means some kind of working with the Sustainability Commission so that we're not sending stuff to the landfill that are, you know, that are good architecturally. I mean, I've been to too many places that sell those architectural remnants for a fortune, that these can be preserved. And I mean, if you go down to the Art Institute, you look at all those architectural remnants that they've got there. I mean, it's a crying shame to throw these things out.
To provide a little bit of background, because John's new to our commission, you're probably aware when what became colloquially known as the Mars Mansion was torn down. It was originally constructed for a gentleman named Velas, who was the president of a plumbing and electrical supply company in the city. And very early on in that process, I received a series of telephone calls and emails at home from grandchildren of the original owner, one of whom was a senior executive with Boeing, one of whom was an architect practicing in Japan. And they both evidenced a tremendous amount of frustration because they had asked the then owner that prior to demolition, they be allowed to do two things. One, to go in and to preserve a single fixture of their choosing as a family remembrance, a souvenir. Secondly, the complete catalog of the original architectural design for that particular architect is housed down at the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana. And they had wanted to have to allow someone access to do some architectural drawings of what was left of the interior. The interior had been largely gutted, to gain a sense to complete that catalog. In all instances, they never got return phone calls, after phone calls, letters, emails, etc. And when it came time to, we were unable at that time to do much other than to have a nominal delay on the demolition. The day that the demolition permit was executed, demolition began that afternoon. Among the things that were taken out is the fact that that building, that residence, had inset gutters, which the granddaughter had described to me as something that were quite unique because of her grandfather's persnicketiness. He had specified that the gutters, the inset gutters are typically copper, that they be wide enough for two workmen to stand in simultaneously and to be sturdy enough to support the weight of two workmen. Yet, I remember driving by and seeing these things just torn and mangled and scrapped. And I would have believed that given the price of copper and bricks and other things, a sizable amount of money was thrown away by that developer in the haste to demolish as quickly and as thoroughly as possible without regard to salvaging what had been there, which is just, you know, the developer shot itself in the foot financially. And I don't think in this particular instance it's nearly that egregious, but I understand what you're saying. It's one of the things that I would like to chat with the chairman of the Sustainability Commission about. And I think the point's well taken. John, if you can ask the village attorney for some suggestions as to what we may be able to do. Having said that, my recollection is we have had several instances where significant properties have sought to have been demolished. And in at least one instance, the owner made, according to several members of the commission's recollection, representations that were not fulfilled and were upwind or subsequently denied as ever having been made. In this particular instance, I think there was some discussion. I don't know to what extent a commitment was made to salvage and by whom.
No. I remember a lot of talk about repurposing.
Yes.
And they were saying,
yes.
Oh, yes.
There was indeed discussion. Mm-hmm. The question is by whom and to what extent.
Mm-hmm. Were minutes available from this meeting?
Oh, yeah.
Because I thought was it Oakley Builders?
Yeah, we're on. Mm-hmm. We're all on tape.
Okay, so when is that tape then?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
And I think it was Oakley Builders then, yeah. Right? You said that they, you know, repurposing was cost effective, but of course they would be willing to, you know, listen to local people about using items, or at least that he would at least maybe send it to one of those reuse architectural things that we have over in town.
And it sounds like they're doing that with some of the materials,
yeah.
Not all of them. I don't know the scope of that, but from what I've been told, it sounds like it's some of the materials.
Yeah, it sounds like slate and some wood is being salvaged.
But I was just reading Katie's email,
yeah.
Which seems to, you know, her, I don't know how many emails there were back and forth. Oh, yes, we're not going to demolish it. Yes. And then, and I don't know how much was just through Oakley Builders and how much the owners ever received anything.
Yeah, that,
so that's...
That's a question, mm-hmm. And the question is, what do we do prospectively?
Yeah.
And, you know, do we do anything currently? I don't know. I mean, that's obviously for the commission to decide collectively, for us to decide collectively. Sure. I guess it would be to what extent is the commission able to enforce commitments by either an owner or its contractors to architecturally salvage and either repurpose and or resell, including to members of the community, items from a property which is demolished? If so, what form of enforcement, you know, what alternatives may exist? So it's sort of a twofold thing. It clearly as to future, and I think as to past, I think the question is, you know, it may be as direct as a letter or phone call. I guess one of the things I would ask is, can you go back through the tapes, John, and see if you can identify what, if any, representations were made as to reuse? I mean, I've got a recollection myself as to what I think both the builder and one of the owners did, but I would just want to confirm that. And then under those circumstances, the question is, okay, you know, what do we do? And that's something obviously we would have to collectively decide at our next meeting, but perhaps in the interim you could send a letter saying, by the way, this has been made aware of, you know, we've been made aware of this by a private citizen. who is vitally concerned with.
I'll take a look and I'll follow up with you, Dad.
Yeah. Yeah, because obviously you want to at least get something out that we're aware of it and we're considering, you know. But we just want to say, you know, perhaps you might want to keep a closer eye on this.
I'll just read you that section from the minutes. Ryan Dunham, owner of Oakley Home Builders, noted that his company does substantial recycling/salvage work. He advised that they would do such work in this case, regardless of whether the application demolishes or rehabilitates the home.
And did the owner make a representation as well? I thought there might have been a verbal. Yeah, I thought there was a head nod and a verbal. Yeah, we definitely would do that.
The head nod would not show up as clearly in the minutes. To be sure.
I remember Katie getting up and talking about.
Yeah. So that comment I just read was in response to Trustee Brennan's comments. Trustee Brennan said she's only aware of the house through a newspaper article. She heard urged the applicants to salvage any reusable features of the home. Jan made similar comments earlier in the meeting. And that section I just read was in response to those. That's all I see here, Dave, but I can take a closer look with a little more time and maybe pull up that audio.
To give John a little bit of the background flavor, Katie Brennan is currently a member of the Village Board, newly elected of trustees. She's formerly chair of the Sustainability Commission, and she took pains in indicating this letter was written to us, not in her capacity as a member of the Board of Trustees, but as a private citizen, which is, it's entirely appropriate. There's a real question. Okay, great. I had one other thing that I wanted to mention, and that is Unity Temple in Oak Park about 12 days ago was, along with seven other Frank Lloyd Wright structures in the United States, added to the 24th example in the United States of a UNESCO World Heritage Site. They're a tick over 1,000 worldwide. This is big doings, to coin a legal term of art. And as someone who is a volunteer interpreter there, I can tell you it's a magnificent space if you haven't been there. It really is jaw-dropping, particularly the sanctuary. You have absolutely no idea what's inside seeing the exterior. And if you think you're seeing it now in 2019, a little bit, 2 years and a month after it was reopened on July 1st, 2017, after a $25.3 million restoration, as I remind tour guests, think of what the original congregation thought in 1908, the fall, when this thing was open for the first time. This could have been a spaceship. I mean, this was just jaw-dropping stuff. But the ceiling in particular of the sanctuary is quite remarkable. And I would suggest people might want to visit. It is open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. It is open for tours. It is also open Saturday mornings. The congregation reserves the use of it for itself, and the Frank Lloyd Wright Trust does not have access Saturday afternoons and Sundays. But other than that, the congregation is extremely flexible and generous in its use of the property for tours, and it really is it's definitely worthwhile. Does anybody have anything else in terms of additional business?
David, I had a question. Do you want me to outreach to the Oak Park Area Association of Realtors or sort of craft a strategy of what I was, and then get back to the?
Yeah, I'm thinking the latter.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, I'll do that. Yeah. We're just renegade.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well.
No, that's fine. I'd rather not do that. What? Why did you say that? Oh my God. Okay. So I'll kind of come up with maybe a letter and maybe what we would include in it, and then we can maybe set up either a meeting or invite him, or we can just,
absolutely. Yeah.
They have board meetings there too, and maybe we could be invited to their meeting if not them.
Absolutely. And I'm happy to join you on something else. I don't fear that you're going to suddenly say, "Oh yeah, Brexit." I'll
come up with some ideas.
Rather more in the idea of just kind of tag teaming it, because it'll be frankly easier on both of us as a tag team.
We'll do that then.
That would be wonderful. That would be wonderful. Anything else? Next meeting
is August the 22nd.
One of the things we really try to do is to keep meetings to the fourth Thursday of every month for sake of uniformity, so people can schedule. The one exception, obviously, is when we have deadlines imposed by the ordinance asked to review.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention, too, I've talked briefly with Dave about this. We will have an application that evening, and I'll confirm quorums and all that closer to it. We will have an application that evening for 344 Keystone, which is the Blocky House. They have some projects going on there. I can tell you, generally, you'll get the materials, but in general, the application includes a couple windows on the rear of the home. So that would be the west facing of the house. Thank you, Carla. And then they're also proposing a breezeway between the home and the accessory structure, which I guess is like the guest house back there. Mm-hmm. They've actually started some interior work. You've probably seen that in some of your reports. Doing a significant amount of interior work on that home, and then they've kind of phased their projects into three: some interior work, some basement work. Their third phase is going to be this exterior work. They've shared that they anticipate that being down the road, but they're going to start with their certificate of appropriateness application with the commission in August.
Yeah, it does the collective heart good to see that someone is going to move in, perhaps do a little bit of updating, but it's going to maintain the home, because that's just an absolutely fabulous job, and the restoration was a labor of love by the prior owners over several decades.
How many thousands of bricks were replaced?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, they've got, I think they call them Milwaukee cream bricks, and what they did is they took down a wall, but they interwove the bricks that they were able to salvage with existing ones of a near look, so that they were able to get something that was a real sensitive restoration. It's just an exceptional job. It's kind of stuff that we can't do enough to encourage things like that.
And that's one of the houses that did get the Historic Preservation Award about 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah, I think 2 or 3 years ago, and it got the highest award that we give for what they did. So, hearing nothing else, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Second. Oh, would you like to be your first?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you all.